Welcome to Scots Language Radio. I'm Frieda Morrison, and this is the programme that celebrates athing to dee with the Scots language, and maybe a bit of mair. In this edition, with Finnoot Fitwai Tam O'Shanter, it's nae so easy to dee as you would think. We'll be speaking to Donald Smith about his forthcoming workshop on that very subject, and we're launching a new book about Scottish myths and legends with writers Sheena Blackhall and Grace Banks. Greyfriars Bobby will never be the same. And David Mitchell leads us through the wakening up of the spring and the part that the trees tack on our cultural landscape. And as the season turns again, sae does the furrow. I join the Pluin Laddies at the Vintage Pluin Match near Dunecht in Aberdeenshire, and the mystery of the mids is about to be revealed, nay for the faint-hearted. But we begin in Gweedhearth and the workshop season at the Scottish Storytelling Centre in Edinburgh. There's a lot on offer this month. Mair about that later, but there's quite a puckle sessions on our national bard, Robert Burns. And one of the first sessions focuses on the delivery of Tam O'Shanter, under the guidance of Donald Smith, director of the Scottish Storytelling Festival and development director of TRAX. I thought reciting Tam O'Shanter was fairly easy. You just do it, Donald.
Oh, no. It's a very, very difficult story. It's very complex. It's beautifully crafted. It's one of the most complex and challenging stories to tell in the whole of literature. And I've been trying to do it properly since I was 15, and now I'm nearly 60, and I'm still learning who to tackle this great work.
But it's a complication.
Well, it's the story moves forward and back in time. The story moves between different voices, different narrators. Ken, one minute we're seeing it from Tam's point of view. Another minute we hear the voice of Tam's wife. Another time we're hearing the narrator's perspective. And when we're thinking of Scots, there's strong Scots in there, you know, when Chapman Billies leave the street and Druthy Neighbours Meet is just the perfect opening to what you think is going to be a simple story. Yeah. Simple story. But then suddenly but pleasures are like poppies spread. You seize the flower, the bloom is shed. Or like the snow falls in the river, a moment white, then melts forever. We've gone into a different kind of language there. And there's a huge range of emotion and conflicts in the poem, and the pace shifts from reflective looking back to fast and furious, you know, as Maggie flew, the witches followed, and the speed. So you hae to tackle all this and to do justice to all these aspects of the poem. And I'm sorry to say this, but I hae heard Tam O'Shanter murdered, time and time again by folk who think it's a jokey wee tale, and they can hear a wee laugh and they're half pissed anyway or
and
whatever.
They did it, I read a note, so you can't hear the words anyway.
Right. And the thing is that it's one of the great works of narrative art in the whole of world literature, and it's fantastic fun to really get wellied in to how to express. So my workshop is all about for folk who are telling Tam O'Shanter, would like to tell Tam O'Shanter, and just getting into the inside of what's going on there and finding ways to express
it. Didn't I just to be a storyteller, but you've got to be an extraordinary storyteller to tell Tam O'Shanter?
Well, the thing is, you have to be someone who loves Burns and who wants to do a good job, to do justice to the mastery or the man, you know, and the craft of the poet.
Do you think he enjoyed telling stories?
Oh, aye. It's, you can tell, actually, in the poem itself, you know, Suitor Johnny and Tam, they're having a rare wee session there with the landlord and the landlady, and Obadi's telling stories, spooky stories, humorous, you know. It's a grand wee session, and you can. This is what Burns would enjoy. But Tam O'Shanter is not written by Burns, the cheery storyteller. It's written by Burns, the master artist. It's a story of the people. It's a story to be shared with everybody, but that doesn't mean it's some lower or lesser art. It's a masterpiece.
Now, you're going to have a busy time in the workshop season, because you're not only doing this, but you're tackling the hearth and the spirit of hospitality through, I suppose, the eyes and the presence of the Celtic goddess Bride. Tell us a wee bit about Bride.
Aye, indeed. Well, it's interesting because we come straight out of Burns and the January kind of season into the season of Bride. And it's the first stirrings of life. It's the first signs of spring.
Spring awakening.
It's very feminine, you know. The Burns thing is all, you know, it's very man stuff, and then February we celebrate, I think, the feminine side of nature. And Bride is the goddess of hospitality and welcome and healing and new life and all these things. And we've got Margaret Bennett coming to speak about this, and Mary Campbell about the songs and the music. And it's another of the things that the culture geese folk is something different for each season and each change in the seasons. So I like to remember Bride, and of course I say that the Bride and Angus tale is really Scotland's creation story. That's your big creation myth.
No, the Bride and the Angus tale. I'm sure it's going to take a few hours.
You'll hate to come into the workshop.
But we'll maybe catch up with the Bride and the Angus tale sometime again. Donald, thanks for this, and best wishes.
Thanks, Frieda.
Dr. Donald Smith, and we mentioned the Celtic goddess Bride there. On the 21st of February, folklorist Margaret Bennett uncovers the stories of Bride. The notes to the event says, "The stories of Bride complement Burns's Winter Birth, offering a balanced cultural stream as we hang about for the first signs of spring." Celebrating Bride in Story and Song with Margaret Bennett at the Scottish Storytelling Centre in Edinburgh, 21st of February, 1:30. And as I said earlier, there's a heaps of workshops on offer at the centre this month, included, and still on the theme of Burns, Weel Kent Sangster and choir leader Chris Kidd is leading twa sessions on Burns' song on the 7th of February, starting at 10:30 for solo singers, and another in for groups on the 7th of February, starting at 2 p.m. Right, we had a busy time at Celtic Connections in Glasgow as well, listening to some grand music and song. And I usually say at this point, I welcome my studio companion, Steve Byrne. But he's nae here, he's nae weel. And I was going to congratulate him as being part of the band Malinky, launching their new album, Far Better Days, at the Mitchell Hall to a packed audience. Well, I've chosen a track, Fae, their new album, to start the programme, to cheer Steve up. It's himself singing. It's the North East song, The Moss of Burledale, and Fiona Hunter coming in with Lady Mary Ann Looked Out of the Castle Wa. But first, The Moss of Burledale with Steve Byrne.
There were Stuarts, Mackenzie and McPhee. Neatly they did plait their knees. Neatly they did plait their knees upon the moss of Burledale. It was on a nicht of wark and kell. They filled their belly foo a whale. Filled their bellies foo a whale upon the moss of Burledale. Now the bonniest laddie in the green was a heather merchant, cried McQueen. Silver buckles on his sheen upon the moss of Burledale. Then he blew his bags, he played a reel. They danced a dance with Flick the Deal. Then they toasted down Lochiel upon the moss of Burledale. Now the women fought with jug and pail to see if they could sell their ale neatly as they faced the gale upon the moss of Burledale. Now the old man being on the booze, I hit the dike, he has snooze. McLaren woke him with the news, I put the row at Burrell Dell. Humdry he da, humdry ya, hein diddle, humdry da, hein diddle, humdry da, hein diddle da. There was Heland Rory through the winds, painted faces and broken shins, painted faces and broken shins upon the moss of Burrell Dell. It was on a night to walk and kill, they filled their belly through a whale, filled their bellies through a whale upon the moss of Burrell Dell.
Lady Mary Ann looks at the castle wall. She spies three bonny boys playing at the ball. The youngest of them was the flute of the mom, a bonny laddie young, but he's growing yet. Feather, a feather, and you think it fit, we'll send him a year at what day the college yet. We'll tie a green ribbon round the booty's hat, and that will let them ken he's the Mary yet. Lady Mary Ann was the flute and the dew, sweet was its smell and bonny was its hue. The longer it blossomed, the sweeter it grew, for the lily and the bard will be bonnier yet. Young Charlie Coughlin was his flute though in eight, bonny and blooming and strong was its fate. The sun took the light for to shine for its sake, and that will be the brag of the forest yet. Summer is gain and the leaves they are green, past all the days that we have seen. But far better days I trust will come again, for my bonny lad is young but he's growing yet. Lady Mary Ann lives at the castle wall, she spies three bonny boys playing at the ball. The youngest of them was the flute of a mom, my bonny lad is young but he's growing yet. My bonny lad is young, but he's growing yet.
Fiona Hunter and Lady Mary Ann looked over the castle wa. Previous song, The Moss of Burrell Dell, sung by Steve Byrne, accompanied by Mark Dunlop and Mike Vass, Faye Malinke. It's a new album, Far Better Days. And for your reference, Fiona was the singer that sang The Blackbird at the opening concert of Celtic Connections. She took the part of Lizzie Higgins in Martin Bennett's Grit, and we're going to finish this programme with the concert version. But we've a long way to gang afore then. Still on workshops, me, myself and a great lot mayor, including Donald Smith, for we heard earlier, and the director of Scottish Dictionaries, Dr. Christine Robinson, and our soon sorter, Richie Werner, will be holding a day's workshop on broadcasting in Scots at the Scottish Storytelling Centre in Embra. If you'd like to get mere confidence speaking Scots, if you hate to broadcast in Scots, or you just like to practice speaking in Scots, join us on the 14th of February at 10 a.m, work until 3 p.m. Mere information about the day and who to register, you'll find on the Scots Language Centre webpage, and of course the Scottish Storytelling Centre webpage at www.scottishstorytellingcentre.co.uk or the box office 0131 556 9579. I would awful like to hear from you, or drop us an email here at info@scotslanguageradio.com. Here's another new album launched at Celtic Connections on the same concert as Malinke at the Mitchell Hall. This is one of my favourite fiddle players, Faye Shetland, Jenna Reid, and their new album card Live in Shetland with Harris Playfair on piano. Track card, Johnny in the Nether Mains. Thank you. Jenna Reid fae Shetland with Harris Playfair on piano. That's a track from Jenna's new album, Tad Live in Shetland, recorded at Shetland's Mareel. Get your tootsies tapping. Scotland now is full of myths and legends. It's the very stuff of our songs and storytelling heritage. And far better to put a hell heise of them together than to our best storytellers and writers, Grace Banks and Sheena Blackhall fae Aberdeen. They were launching their new book, Tad, Scottish Urban Myths and Ancient Legends, at the Storytelling Centre in Edinburgh. It's a busy place, Yorn, and I got an opportunity to speak to Grace and Sheena afore the launch. It's aye a special experience being in the company of Grace and Sheena. Grace first, telling me about how the project got off the ground.
History Press asked us to write this book about urban myths. They decided on the back of the one we'd already written, which was Aberdeenshire Folk Tales, that they'd like us to write one for the whole of Scotland.
Because you made enough of a good job, what?
Aye, well, it was just that not many Scottish storytellers had written theirs. They're coming out now.
They're coming out now. Where is going? Midges, he's of them.
So they sent us the one for Kent, and the one for Kent could have been from Awai, because the stories in it were just the same as Awai else. They could be for anywhere in the world. So I said to Sheena, if we're writing one for Scotland, this needs to be unique to Scotland.
For the, that's it, writing for the hell of Scotland.
For the hell of
Scotland, that's
one,
us, you see.
One book for the hell of Scotland.
Miss Mercy, carefully.
So we started getting down to it, and then the editor says, right, Grace, can you include the Loch Ness Monster? And I says, right, if we're including the Loch Ness Monster, that is not an urban myth, I'm sorry. And if that story's going in, then I demand that we can do other ancient legends. So Sheena more or less did the whole of the urban myth side, and I did the ancient legend side.
Okay. Was there anything that surprised you, I would hesitate to say shocked, but was there any surprises in your research? Because you did a lot of driving over Scotland, didn't you?
I did. Well, this friend of mine, Pat, she just happened to tell me this story over the phone. And I says, oh, can I use that story? That's a brilliant wee story. She says, aye. She and her partner were out for a run, and they decided to camp overnight in this bonny glen. In the middle of the night, she's woken up with the sound of angry voices, men's voices, and they were coming closer, and she was getting a bit worried because they were very much isolated. And then she started to hear the noise of metal clashing, and she wakes up her partner going, John, wake up! What's going on? And John's going, what? I'm not hearing a thing. And then they came so close that the tent started being pushed inwards. And he saw that right enough, and he says, oh, there must be cattle or sheep. So sleepily he climbs out of the sleeping bag, comes out of the tent. Complete silence.
Nobody there.
No beast in sight.
Nothing in sight.
Beautiful moonlight night. And Pat going absolutely bananas. And Joy says, will you just calm down? But no way, when you get in that state, there's no way you can calm down. And she's still convinced. So eventually, he very exasperated, they take their sleeping bags and off in the car, leaving all their gear behind. And in the morning when they returned to the glen, they found this information board, which told them that this was a site of the Battle of Glenshiel, exactly 300 years before.
On that spot.
On that spot.
Grace! Spookers. And spooky. Nope. Right, Sheena, over. First of all, fits an urban myth. Fits. Difference between a myth and an urban myth.
They're short. They're nae lang. They're nae lang. You could put the hell urban myth. I had enough of fun urban myths. I took a burg them and I put them online. I got it to the Chimera Institute and I made them great lang and racks to moot and put gore and lashings of horrors on them. Horrible things like necrophilia. You never want to speak about that.
No, neither do.
Neither do. It's not a programme for necrophilia. I spent more time. Grace did genuine research than I wrote a boot. But I was raking about things, especially in Google. I'm a great Google buddy, you know. Never off. It's just obsessive, you see. I'm on there and chasing nothing. I discovered that, to my horror, that Greyfriars Bobby is just a myth. As an academic, has spent a long time and a lot of money, I might say, researching all this to discover there was two grave rush bobbies and it was used as a tourist ploy to draw the folk in.
Wait a minute, can I just go back there a wee minute? Just a wee bit here. Are you dissing the whole legend or story?
Oh, nay, me personally, would as if. But no. But this is the latest, you see, to come up and say that he's just an urban myth. It wasn't an urban, it was just a made up, a monkey on.
Okay, give me, and then I want to just give you a the urban myth.
Oh, you mustn't. No.
Give me a Nithrine.
A Nithrine. Oh, I've got some, there's stutters. There's in about, there's a brig. I'm not going to tell you if I must buy the book to find out. But for dogs, commit suicide in the Lowpath.
But why?
Well, they just goodbye cruel world, now where they go. Maybe they're not getting enough. You can, Fido or whatever to eat, I don't know. But there's about 20 of them hurled themselves to their fate worse than death.
You're mucking this up, aren't you?
No, I'm not mucking it up. It's in, and look it up, it's an ad, it's been all over the world it's been spoken about.
Okay, so urban myths are fibs?
Urban myths are usually, as somebody else say, you can, this is true, because a cousin told me this and it's right.
You and have worked together half a wheel in this, haven't you? You've enjoyed working together. I'm just assuming that. You're about to tell me, no, you've fun out every week.
No, but Grace has had an awful lot. I will put my hands up to it. Grace did an awful lot of the hard work. I'm in this.
Rewrite that, Sheena. Rewrite that.
I mean, this creators that just, you know, that likes to scrape through life with the seat of the pants. And but you have to hear somebody that's meticulous, again, for like.
Grace is meticulous.
She is, Anne.
Sheena, Grace, enjoy your launch. And thank you. I've enjoyed this blather. It's been
awful funny. There you go now.
It's never wearisome.
No. There you are. So just you must find out about all these suicidal dogs. I hope all the cat lovers out there will take note there's no cats feel enough to look after break. It was just dogs, no parrots or none of that.
Give us a quick song.
Often I was a little wee turn-panted loony, they called me Sally Jockey. Well, there's a day I'm sitting on my granny's windowsill, it and sweeties for a brown paper pihokey. It's by come a quinny and she offered me a kiss, to kiss her a thought to scorin'. But she bolted to my sweeties, dung my heady through the window, and my granny told me this next morning. Never tie a kettle till a big dog's tail, never drink water for a roosty pail. I'll bet you haven't saved me till a babby and a baha, that a rich chicken apple's ne'er gotten in the fall.
Sheena Blackhall finishing off that interview in her own style with herself and Grace Banks about their new book, Scottish Urban Myths and Ancient Legends. It's published by the History Press, price £9.99, and well worth it for an interview. What a time and what a pair. Right, I was lucky enough to be part of an audience for Ian O'Leary Showcase Scotland presentations in Celtic Connections at the Glasgow Art Club. Enid the Bands was a young group for the Royal Conservatoire of Scotland, who put out their first album last year. The band is called Barluath and the album is called Source. This is Ainsley Hamill, fae Glasgow, singing The Trooper and the Maid.
I saw John Lad come here last night with riding, he was weary. I saw John Lad come here last night, the moon was shining clearly. She's taken his good horse by the head and led him to the stable. She's given him corn and hay to eat, as muckle as was able. Bonnie lassie, all I need you knew, bonnie lassie, all I need you. And I'll guide all your ribbons ring in the morning, then I'll leave you. By the hand and led him to her chamber. She's gained him a stoup o' the wine to drink, and the love it flared like tinder. She's made a bed both broad and lang, she's made it like a lady. She's ta'en a nightgown o'er her heat, and so dear are you ready. Bonnie lassie, all I near you knew, bonnie lassie, all I near you. And I'll guard all your ribbons real, and the morning I'll leave ye. He's done off his belted coat like wise as hat and feather. He's leaned his sod against the door, and now he's doing a sight her. They hadn't been in bed an hour, but scarce a quarter, when the drums came sounding up the street, and ilka beat was shorter. Bonnie lassie, all I need you knew, Bonnie lassie, all I need you, and all got all your ribbons real, and the morning air'll leave you. Lassie, all I need you knew, Bonnie lassie, all I need you, and all got all your ribbons real, and the morning air'll leave you. Colonel cried, it's up and up and away then. It's up and up, her Colonel cried, the morn's her battle day then. She's ta'en her coat o'er her head and followed him up to Stirling, but she grew so fair that she couldn't boo, and he's left her in Dunfermline. Bonnie lassie, all I need you knew, Bonnie lassie, all I need you, and all that I am ribbons real, and the morning it'll leave me. Come back again, mind your soldier laddie. It's when will you come back again, and be a bairnie's daddy. Oh, hold your tongue, my bonny lass, never let this pertin greet thee. When heather coos, grow oaks and booze, bonny lassie, I'll come see ye. Bonny lassie, all I need you knew, lassie, all I need ye, and all got all your ribbons real, and the morning I'll leave ye. Lassie, all I need you knew, bonny lassie, all I need ye, and all Robin's real in the morning, it'll leave me.
Hamill and the band Barlewith with The Trooper and the Maid for their album Source, produced by Phil Cunningham. Well, earlier on you heard Donald Smith mention that we're new into the season of the Celtic goddess Bride, for we say we are Irish friends. She's half a good at heralding in the wakening up of spring. Now, Esmech come as a big surprise to a lot of folk, but the sap is rising. It's maybe rising slower in some places than others, but it is rising. No far better to tell us mair about sic matters, but our programme gardener, past curator at the Botanics in Edinburgh, oor Davy Mitchell. And I'm sitting wi' him in his ain garden, speaking about the importance of trees in our winter landscape.
Och, trees in winter are just magic, man. Imagine a landscape with nae naked trees.
Trees are another big part of our legends and our folklore in Scotland.
The cultural significance of trees is interesting. It's a queer thing. Trees are not just as celebrated as much in Scots language and poetry as things like birds and mammals and wildflowers. They get a passing mention. Burns wrote about trees. He wrote about 60 poems that covered about maybe 17 species. And one of my favourites is called On Seeing My Favourite Walks Despoiled. And it starts with the wonderful lines, "The worm that gnawed my bonny trees, that reptile wears a ducal crown." It's a direct reference to the Duke of Queensbury who destroyed the woods of Rundrum Lanrig. And in the same poem, he notes, "There was a time, it's nae lang syne, when hanging beech and spreading elm shaded my stream sae clear and cool." Unlike his poem, The Mountain Daisy, it doesn't actually celebrate an individual tree to any great degree. The nearest it came to that was in his song, The Birks of Aberfeldy, but that's more about the place than the tree itself. But I tell you what, there is a wee song, a lovely song, that a lot of your listeners will know. It was written by Lady Caroline and Nairn, ken the Rowan Tree.
Of course I.
What a passion she had for that. Oh, Rowan Tree, oh, Rowan Tree, they'll aye be dear to me.
We're sitting underneath a really bonny birch tree. Fit about the cultural element and the legends and the Celtic connections with trees. There must be a heap of them.
Well, you can, it's queer. A lot of your Scottish connections and Celtic connections with trees actually originate in Ireland or say Norse culture, and they've been adopted here in Scotland. It's that Celtic thing. It goes all the way from France to Cornwall, right up through. But the nearest thing we have to it is the Ogham alphabet. It was sometimes called the tree alphabet. It's seen on Pictish and Christian stones here in Scotland, but it came from Ireland originally. And it's basically 20 different kind of stick-like symbols. Each yin represents a different native tree and has different meanings. And you can see examples of it today in museums and on standing stones and natural outcrops, as well as Christian crosses. And there's an awful lot of information about it on the internet. You can, if you take the birch you were talking about there, the new, it was a traditional Celtic symbol about the awakening of new life. And birch twigs were used to part the celebrations for St. Bride's Day on the 1st of February. And St. Brigid, she was the Celtic goddess of rebirth. And in some parts it was known as the Rod of Life, and the bride and groom were asked to step over a birch pole as they went into their new home.
Wow.
And in the Ogham alphabet, it's dedicated to the moon, and it's seen as a herald of change. Then if you take another big tree that you'll all ken, known Big Oaks, the king of the wood, he's practical and magical and long-lived and majestic.
Was that the most important tree for the Druids, you know?
Well, it was linked to the Druids and Druid culture and beliefs, but you can, it's the most fantastic timber. It was used for building houses and ships and furniture and medicine. It was even used for feeding pigs.
Oak trees?
Aye, they ate the acorns, the mast.
Of course, aye.
And in the Ogham alphabet, it was a symbol of wisdom and endurance. And then you come back down to the hazel. You get the hazel tree. It was respected by the Celts, and it was seen as a symbol of wisdom and knowledge and vitality. They reckon St. Patrick used a hazel stick to chase the snakes out of Ireland, so they say, according to legend.
Mm-hmm.
But here in Scotland, it was one of the nine sacred woods that was used to start the fires of Beltane on the 1st of May. And for me, my best memories of hazels, hunting up in dune banks as a boy with my father, looking for a nice, good, straight bit to make us walking stick with.
But you've got a hazel across there, but that's a witch hazel.
Aye, that's an immigrant. We're not talking about that today. It's off a bonny, though, with the yellow flowers.
Bonny yellow flowers.
There was a battle of the trees. Aye.
A battle of trees?
A battle of the trees in Celtic mythology. I wonder if that's where Tolkien got the idea, because in Celtic mythology, the Alder is linked to Bran the Blessed, king of the Island of the Mighty. And in the Welsh poem, The Battle of the Trees, the wizard Godwin turns the Alders into soldiers to fight in his army. And it was the willow and the rowan that came late to the fray, and the Alder that was at the front, at the vanguard. And it's interesting, in the Ogham alphabet, it's seen as a protector of the heart.
But there's some folk fear the trees, isn't it?
Well, you can, woodlands and lanes can be scary places, but there's an awful good poem that reminded me when I was a bairn. It's called The Bogle.
Go indeed.
By W.D. Crockett. I'll just do a wee bit.
A wee bit.
There's a bogle by the boar tree at the lang lone heed. I canna thole the thought of him. He fills my heart wi' dread. He skirls like a hoolet, and he rattles o' his beans. He gies himsel a guffash to fricht wee bairns. He's never there in daylight, but against the gloaming fa's, he creeps along the heed rig and through the tatty shaws. Syne splurges through the burn and comes sprachling over the stains, and then queries doon aboot ahen the dyke to fricht wee bairns.
That's good at you.
Ah, but I think the best, see, that I like, for me personally, is another yin. It reminds me of my first penknife and my father teaching me to make a whistle as a young boy walking along the banks of the Tweed. It's just called the whistle. He cut a sappy sucker from a muckle rodden tree. He trimmed it and he weed it and he thumped it on his knee. He never heard the chookit. When the harra broke her eggs, he missed the craggit hern, nabbing puddocks in his eggs. He forgot to hoon the collie at the cattle when they strayed. Ah, but ye should have seen the whistle that the wee herd made.
Can you hear that robin in the background?
Just he's just sitting up there on non-branch twittering away. He's waiting on spring, I know.
He's trying to tell us a poem, and a wee cracker, look at him.
It's the other thing about trees. They're not just there for us. They're there for a lot of other things. Trees are the lungs of the planet and home to millions of other organisms. And our lives would be an awful lot worse off without them.
By leaves we live, as Patrick Geddes would say. That's the hudder of the wisdom of the earth himself, David Mitchell. And that poem, The Whistle, by Northeast poet Charles Murray, reminds me to flag up a really grand wee book I'm reading at the moment about Charles Murray and his poems by Colin Milton. I'll maybe catch up on that in later. But we bide with the land theme. This is The Plumin by Robert Burns, sung by Leslie Hale. It's fae Robert Burns, The Complete Songs, Volume 4. This is The Plumin.
Plumin, he's a bonny lad, his mind is ever true, Joe. His garter's knit below his knee, his bonnet, it is blue, Joe. Then up with all my plumin, lad, hey, my merry plumin. Of all the trades that I do ken, commend me to the plumin. My plumin, he comes hame at e'en. He's often wet and weary, cast off the wet, put on the dry, and gay to bed, my dearie. Then up with all my plumin, lad, hey, my merry plumin. Of all the trades that I do ken, commend me to the plumin. And I will wash my plumin's hose, and I will dress his orderly, and I will mark my plumin's bed, and cheer him late and early. Then up with all my plumin, lad, hey, my merry plumin. Of all the trades that I do ken, commend me to the plumin. I hae been east, I hae been west, I hae been at St. Johnston. The bonniest sight that e'er I saw was the plumin laddie dancing. Snow white stockings on his legs and siller buckles glancing. A good blue bonnet on his head, and oh, but he was handsome. Then up with all my plumin lad, hey, my merry plumin. Of all the trades that I do ken, commend me to the plumin. Commend me to the barn yet and the corn moo man. I never got my coggy foo till I met with the plumin. Then up with all my plumin, lad, hey, my merry plumin. Of all the trades that I do ken, commend me to the plumin.
Sung by Leslie Hale, The Plumin, from Robert Burns, The Complete Songs, Volume 4. And that sets the scene for the next rummel. We're biding in the song theme of The Plumin and turning the earth. There's nothing I could think on that evokes the turning of the year mair than the sicht o' a plug and through the grun, as we're seeing now with the countryside just now. It maybe looks easy, and it's maybe easier than it used to be for near the horse. But even when the grey Fergie, the grey Massey Ferguson tractor, came in to replace the horse, ploughing with a wee tractor was still a skill, merging on an art form, I would say. I have tried it to disastrous effect. Got a shotty for a neighbour and proceeded to make a hell of a mess and flattened the whirly forby. Teen it clean off at the neck. Clean break. Turned, forgot I had a plough on the back. Whew! Flattened the clay's whirly. Got banned for the Grey Fergie after that. Rightly so, I would say. But I can still appreciate the skill, and I was delighted to join the Mester Plumin at the Vintage Plumin Match held at the BA Country Stores near Dunecht in Aberdeenshire on a hill park overlooking the hills of Deeside. I joined the hunters as spectators and the tractors
Oo tower on the hill, among a' the patches of bonny plued furrows, choking a wee bitty with the clouds of smoke coming through the tractor pulling competition. I met in with first Bob Mitchell face Skell Muir aside Mintlaw, and Bob telt me about the skill of the tractor pullman.
It's a fairly noisy background. We're just about to get covered and lost in a...
Oh, it's a tractor pulling. Oh, my God.
Kind of a great big puff of smoke. Was it tractor pulling or there?
It's tractor pulling.
So, how long have you been doing this?
This would be about 9-10 years.
This is your 10th year?
Aye.
You said you were just a brigadier.
I am, but it's not every day you can come and get a chance to plough in forever. You know what I mean? You can go to ploughing marches. I do chart the ploughing marches and things like that through the year. But some of the guys is ploughing the marches all the time. They're really into it. Okay? But I go to the shows and show your tractor. But this is one of the things that you can come to, get a bit of ploughing and show your tractor. It's mere overall. You don't have to be expert.
So what kind of tractor have you got?
I've got a Gray Ferguson. It's 1954. That's mine's over here, right? And it's great fun. Takes you amongst other guys. It's good for the wives, because the wives can get all together.
Aye.
Here, fine weekend.
Because you come down with your caravan last night, didn't you?
Come with a caravan last night, and then went home and picked up a tractor with a trail antenna.
So what makes a good ploughman?
A good ploughman. Just like me.
Just like you. Aye.
Really, it's just pure and utter practice.
Is it?
And you get a lot of tips for the all professionals, Ken.
It's not that easy, can you
see
it?
It's not easy. The more you do it, the easier it gets, and you learn what you're doing wrong and how to set a plough up. And it's practice.
Because you can't just go in with a plough and just expect it to come over the next one.
It doesn't do it, no. There's a bit more to it than that.
Somebody gave me a shot at it and I couldn't do it.
There's a bit more to it. But it's pure not a practice. And you walk about, well, what I do is walk about and watch the guys is doing it a lot, and you see what they are doing. So it gives you a little tip here and there.
Aye. Like, but I'm going to find out what the nids is.
You go and do quiz. That.
If you suggest I speak to
him? No, there's one of the guys over here, and I'll point him out for you.
Can you come down with me?
Well, I can let you see where he is.
The mids is when you come to a finish, you should be left with one fur in the centre here, and the back fur takes out a mould fur at the back. And that's
your... A fur at the back?
A mould fur.
A mould fur?
Yeah. Okay. M-O-U-L-D.
So the mids is the finishing?
Yes. And it has to be dead straight at either end, the same size at both ends. Like whatever, if you're ploughing a 12-inch, you should leave a 12-inch fur, and then the backing takes out a black fur at the back, which is your mould fur.
So how do they come together?
Well, it's an opening, it's your finish, you see.
Oh,
and it should be like a book.
One goes one way.
One way goes one, and see, look.
Aye.
Well, see.
Aye.
See, he's doing that, right?
So
he's ploughing that way and he's coming back this way. So you leave it like that when you're finished.
And that's the... So you do that at the start and then you do it at the finish?
Well, you have to do that for an opening split to get your fear in. You have to do an opening split for a start.
A fear in.
Before you put up your fearing, to make
fearing,
a hole.
A fearing's the beginning.
The fearing's the beginning?
Yes. Well, you're opening squad first and then a fearing.
You throw it out?
This is complicated. You see, look, he's coming up this way.
Aye.
And then he's going down this way.
Aye.
But if he... See, you need to put up a fearing. Well, look, you see. See this here?
Is that a fearing?
See, I would come along here. I would come along here and throw another four like that down the hill. They'd do an opening split.
Aye.
And to put a wee block four at the back here. And then you plough it together, which is your fearing. So you're going round one way and coming back the other, and you finish with your mids. And you have to do the same finish as you did when you did your opening split. But a bit deeper.
Okay.
So that's your finish. And you have to, you have to leave only stubble sticking up or grass sticking up at the finish. It has to be completely black and straight with your mould for.
Thanks, Charlie.
No bother. Bye.
See, it's easy. Champion Plumin, Charlie McDonald from Millbank. And the fiddle playing, of course, for Paul Anderson from his album Land of the Standing Stones. And a big thank you to the BA Country Store for their hospitality and putting on the event. Proceeds to charity. And I'm joined now by Usun Sorter, Richie Werner.
Hello.
For his come out of his recording, Duke It.
I'm out my cubbyhole.
Did you like it, Mids?
I loved that. I still don't think you've got any idea of the Mids actually are for you. And to be fair, neither do I.
I've got a clue.
I don't know, a bit closer.
It's an art form, as I
can. Can I almost see the furrows going in, you know? Fantastic.
But you've got this black smoke surrounding you all the time for the tugging matches they cut. Well, you see, this is just about taxes to yawn time. And I asked Steve Byrne, we're resident Rommeler, about his rummels this month. He grumbles about in books. But Richie, he's nae here.
Oh, can I see that?
He's nae wheel.
There's an empty seat at this table.
So, it's just you and me.
I know. Twice yesterday.
Well, anyway, I hope you get wheels soon.
Aye.
Crater. No, I was lucky enough to be part of the audience for the opening concert of Celtic Connections at the Royal Concert Hall in Glasgow, as here. And I think I'm safe to say, Richie, that the concert featuring around about 80 musicians and singers, trad and classical, performing and playing the orchestral version of the late Martin Bennett's final album, Grit, is now up there among the most memorable musical experiences we've had in Scotland. You've listened to bits of it, it's just absolutely. Aye. And you were saying that the album Grit actually took you into folk music.
Grit's huge, yeah. I came from the electronic side and the kind of turntablism and everything that Martin was great at there. And there's this other, whole other element, this folk music I'd never heard before as a wee one, you know. I was like, oh, wow. So that really drew me into the whole scene, believe it or not, through the other way, you know. So, pioneer, absolutely.
At the concert, or I would say 2,000 folk in the audience stood in their hind legs at the end of the concert. It's almost two hours in duration. And they stood up and gave the musicians something like 7 encores, I can't believe it.
Oh, goodness me.
And we sang, we grat, we sang, and we celebrated the musicianship and Martin Bennett's genius. And we congratulated the genius of the musical director, Greg Lawson, as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, Richie, to finish, I'm going to play one of my favourite bits for the concert. It's called The Blackbird. Mm. And the album track was used on the film called The Ridge.
That's right.
Was it Danny McCaskill?
Danny McCaskill. The cyclist. Aye.
Well, Fit Martin did, as you can, was blend some of our great traditional voices, wee contemporary rhythms and sounds, mm-hmm. blending them both together. This album track, with the inimitable voice of the late Lizzie Higgins in the album track,
mm-hmm.
was done in the concert version by Fiona Hunter, singing Lizzie Higgins' part.
Aye.
And she made an awful good job of doing that.
She was fantastic. Right. Oh, thanks.
If you can back in your ducat and press the buttons at the
right
time.
Oh, that's me. Back in my cubbyhole.
Back in your ducat, right. And we'll get on with the music. As our tribute and thank you to Celtic Connections, Greg Lawson and the musicians and the singers and the pipers. This concert and Martin's music was another, I think, harbinger of spring and another shifting of the seasons and the minds. Fae me, Frieda Morrison, our resident rumbler, Faz here in spirit, Steve Byrne, and our soon sorter, Richie Werner. Bye for now. This is The Blackbird, Fae Martin Bennett's album, performed on stage at Celtic Connections 2015, and the voice and fitter voice of Fiona Hunter.
Voice, oh, I'm not a voice. sad song.